This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yep, I'm back again. It's time for some more fun at the Fandom Nexus. We're having some holiday fun, specific Halloween fun, you know, and for October. Today, I put out a poll for anyone who's, of course, following in the group, the Fandom Nexus group. Of course, there should be a link right there in the show notes if you're not a part of it. We talk about it every week. But I put a poll out there asking for people's favorite movies that they like to watch during the course of this month. That the rules basically were just has to be like a, you know, PG-13 or below. Couldn't have a bunch of nudity or over too much language, you know, which usually are not too much. Or it couldn't be a gory one. It could be something you could sit down with the family and watch and be scared together or laugh together. Not everything we got was actually something that was necessarily scary. But I've got a list. Had a very long list. I think there was over like 30 movies on the list. And one of them I thought of kind of late in the game, and nobody got a chance to vote on it, but nobody added it to the list. I did leave it open where you could add movies to the list, and so the list just kept growing. And I wish I could maybe mention everything on there, but I do have specific ones that got voted. So I've got a top five, and then I've got some honorable mentions that at least got more than the one vote that you... Because it automatically gives it one vote when you add it to the list. I didn't learn that. So from the long list of 30, I've narrowed it down to a top five. We're going to go through that list later. I hope to go through the list with my wife, Heather, the Wendy nerd, bio nerd, all kinds of different names I have for her. She is currently doing a teacher thing. She has a soccer game she was helping out or something today. I'm hoping when she gets home later, we get a chance to record with her. I meant to maybe record the entire show yesterday, but it didn't quite work out for us. But I'm hoping today, when she gets in, we'll be able to do that together. But I'm going to have this first half of the show done without her because we don't need her for everything, right? You like having some time just to spend with me, don't you? Don't you? I would hope so. And in fact, I hope you enjoy spending time with me so much that you realize, okay, so this is going to be episode 499. Episode 500 is coming up. And maybe we can hopefully get this out by next week, but maybe I'll let it stew for a little bit to get it all in there. And we'll hit up, because I think my first episode was like first week in November, I think, way back in the day. So it'd be kind of fun to do the 500th episode on the anniversary of completing the 12th year that I've been doing this show, back when it was the Neverland podcast. So I'd kind of like to release it at least about that time. Now, here's the thing. I want your participation in this one. So I have an email address here, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, or heck, you can leave stuff on Facebook, and I'll maybe have a post where you can leave some memories or something of having listened to the show for all these years. Now, I know I lost a lot of people when we quit doing Disney. I really did. We've hopefully slowly grown back a following, and some of you, I think, maybe have stuck around through all of it. But if you have memories of the show or a favorite guest that's been on the show, can you record something on your phone and email me that so I have some audio or even some video that maybe we can share? But at least have the audio that I can share on the show. That would be wonderful. I would love to hear from you. I need to work out some stuff like people who have been co-hosts in the past. Maybe I can get Eric and Jesse or something to show back up. I got it. It's hard to get timing down because life has gotten crazier. And I used to have I could record this every Sunday afternoon. But then the Chiefs started getting really good and I paid a lot more attention instead of just casually yep, they're losing again. But now, I mean, we're in the Mahomes era. And I know some of you probably hate that, but we waited a long time to have a team this good, and I am enjoying every little bit of it, and I have not missed a single moment of a Chiefs game if I can help it, except for when I have errands to run. Beating the daylights out of the Raiders this last weekend, I was out at the store and listening on the radio to the game through most of it, because I needed some stuff from the grocery store. So, yeah, adulting comes first, and adulting sometimes gets in the way of me getting these podcasts out as often as I should like. Things have really kind of changed over the last 5 years. I try to be consistent as best I can, though. But I know it hasn't been that consistent. But I would probably have hit 500 a long time ago. when I was managing to be weekly, as I was really disciplined or something before. But I think things changed as I graduated from university, which I went back because of this podcast to university and pursued a job in radio, which, you know, worked out for a little while, but I had to kind of upgrade, and I'm working in television now and making ads, and I do a lot of voiceover there, but I'm using my video abilities. I still miss radio. I really do. I'd love to go back to it sometime, but I think I'm going to be working in television probably for a very, very long time, probably the rest of my career, because, you know, I'm getting older. You know, 50 is just a couple more years away. So in retirement is what, like 55, 60? Although I don't really feel like I'm going to get the opportunity to retire. I do not have enough stuff saved up. But that's a different kettle of fish. Completely different topic that we don't need to get into. But, you know, so doing this podcast has really altered the course of my life. And 500 episodes, part of me has wondered, when I hit 500, should I give it a rest? And probably not. I don't think I will. I think we'll keep going. Planet Comic Con is coming up actually in March. I was getting some information on that. I got some emails, and I'm starting to make my preparations for what I would like to do at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City this year. So I do have some exciting plans that I'm working on. Some stuff similar to what we've done before, but trying to step it up a little bit, and maybe even doing something. We're watching movies with my pastor, and so Philip may be able to join me on something. But I'm going to see how many different kind of panels I can get running. And have lots of fun that I can have with you and to interact with you. If you happen to be in the Kansas City area, if you're coming to Planet Comic Con, come by. We usually do pack up the room pretty good, and it's fun that way. So I enjoy getting to have the interaction, and I think we gain a lot of new listeners and followers and hopefully become fans of the show because of showing up at Planet Comic Con. When you get to meet me and you think, wow, he is really a weirdo in person. But hey, you know, hopefully you get to enjoy me vocally, right? I do have this nice soothing voice, right? Sure I do. Gets even better when I take a sip of some hot apple cider. Mmm, that's good. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have something warm to drink when you do this, especially after working all day like I have on a weekday. But anyways, let's get things rolling here with what have I been watching? Well, here's what I want to tell you about what I've been watching. This I just started yesterday, and I'd probably be doing it right now. Well, no, I got other things I need to be doing now. But GoBots is on Tubi, at least the first season. Which, now, I think the first season might, because there was a miniseries that kind of launched it, like a 5-episode miniseries. I don't know if the first season is just the 5 episodes, because, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first season is considered that miniseries that launched that show. So, I don't know if Challenge of the GoBots, the first season kind of is considered more of that, because Transformers started when a miniseries, but they consider first season a lot more than that. So, but GoBots, Challenge of the GoBots, is available for free on Tubi, and I started watching that. I haven't gotten to see it since, man, I guess it's the fourth grade. No, second grade. Second grade. Yeah, second grade is on TV because I remember watching it in a house that we rented for a year while I went second grade. And then we moved into the house that I spent most of my growing up years in, kind of closer up to where I live now. And we actually were still going to the school. We had to drive down to the old house as we were slowly moving out of it into the house that I went to middle school and everything else. But yeah, second grade was the year. So that's when Challenge of the GoBots. We were watching that. And then the original My Little Pony, which, you know, Katie Lee with some voices on that, who has been a previous guest. I need to reach out to her and see if she'd like to send a nice message. I want to see if I can make contact with any guests that will hopefully remember having been on the show. Because I've been doing this for 12 years, and not all of the guests that have been on the show are going to remember that they were a part of this. So I don't know who's going to want to send a well wish. But I posted a thing up on my personal Facebook page that maybe some of them will see it and be like, oh, yeah, it's Jeremy. It's, you know, that guy. And maybe they'll come along. But anyway, so that's what I've been watching anyway. As to what I've been playing, and I should probably be playing it, you know, like now, but I got to do the podcast. Alan Wake 2, I'm still playing it, and we are live streaming it over at the official Neverland Gaming channel. That's on YouTube. I've got lots of different gaming content on there. It's just kind of fun. It's something maybe you can watch while you're trying to slowly settle in for the night and just fun, you know, fun to watch. Although, I am commentating now when I'm playing Alan Wake 2, and I'm kind of talking through what I'm doing and what my thought process is, trying to solve puzzles, occasionally getting some help from the internet because I use the internet. Because when I grew up, we'd go through gaming magazines, and we'd look for those hints, or we'd talk on at the school or whatever. It's like, hey, are you stuck on the thing? Hey, did you know that if you do this, you know, for old Nintendo games, we would do that. And so I'm very used to, like, you know, if I kind of get confused on something, like, let me see if I can find a good hint somewhere on the internet. I'm putting the internet to good use. I do not. I do not have any problems with going and looking for help on a game, especially if I want to platinum the thing. It's good to find, sometimes if I can't find something, to go and look it up. And I also don't mind putting it on easy mode if I just want to be able to get through and experience the story of a game. I don't care. I'm having fun. Games are meant to have fun. You know, if you like to just have something beat you brutally senseless as you play it, then go right ahead. I don't want to do that because I like to just play and have fun. So there. So, but that's what I'm doing. Playing Alan Wake 2. Story is really getting kind of good. I don't think I'm very far into the game for as deep into the month as I am. I need to really just sit down and spend a lot more time on it. But, you know, I get home about 6 o'clock. I start getting tired around 7. I want to eat dinner when my wife gets home. And so I kind of, you know, it's just kind of weird how this all works out to where I just don't have as much time to game on weeknights as I sometimes do on the weekends. Sometimes weekends get pretty busy, too. Adult life is a challenge. I'm sure if I had children, it'd be worse and I'd probably never get to play. That's good warm apple cider. But yeah, so that's what I've been watching and that's what I have been playing. I don't really say that I have any news because it feels more like a rumor that has been circulating right now. And, you know, of course, I follow up on the Final Fantasy Remake trilogy. But there has been some rumors flying around that there will be indeed a fourth game kind of just continuing the story, you know, which there was kind of a franchise of games. You know, there's Crisis Core, which already has been re-released as Crisis Core Reunion, or Final Fantasy VII Reunion Crisis Core, and they re-released that one, remastered it and everything, so I've gotten a chance to play that. But there was a Dirge of Cerberus game, which was a Vincent Valentine-focused story, which gave some of his backstory. And maybe that we'll get some sort of version of that later. There's a lot of possibility things that they have said that with the resolution of the third game in this trilogy, they figure they're going to make everybody happy. Well, you know, the old school fans of the game plus the new fans of the game, everybody should be happy with the result. And they think they can continue the franchise by maybe making a fourth game. And maybe I'd like it if they went further, as long as they can keep Aerith around somehow. That would make me very happy. So more Aerith games, thank you. So yeah, that's all I really have is just some rumors. There was a New York Comic Con, but I didn't go digging in for any news on it. There was a lot of stuff claiming to have trailers, but I prefer to get a trailer from the actual film company or game company. That way, because people AI and fake stuff all the time. So it's hard to be sure when somebody has something real that we are actually interested in and they're not lying to us. You know what I mean? All right, so let's talk a little bit about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, which is the home of the Neverland Network of podcasts, you're going to find a big logo for Dubby. If you happen to be a gamer, or you just need energy and you don't want to get the shakes or the jitters or anything, all that caffeine, all that bad stuff does to you, you want some good, healthy energy, these are drink mixes. You can mix them in with water. You can even order your cups on there, and you'll even get a discount if you use that big logo there on my website. Or, of course, using the discount code Neverland over at W.GG. Make you a good order. Get you some good stuff. Lots of different flavors available on there. And you just mix it with water. It gives you vitamins, minerals, all the good stuff that gives you some real healthy, natural energy. That is Dubby. So make sure you go and check it out because, of course, you do help out the show when you do that. Okay. Well, the next thing I want to do is I want to get my wife in here and let's talk about some of these movies here that you all like to sit and watch.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Are you a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, or Jonathan Park? Want to join other fans for discussions or behind-the-scenes info about these shows? Or maybe you're looking for more great audio drama to listen to with your family. Do you enjoy hearing exclusive interviews with the cast and crew of your favorite shows? Then Audio Theater Central is the podcast for you. I'm J.D. Sutter. Since 2010, Audio Theater Central has been exploring the family-friendly audio drama world through news, reviews, and interviews. Join me and a rotating cast of co-hosts each month for another episode featuring the latest updates, in-depth reviews of new releases, and conversations with the actors, writers, directors, sound designers, and composers who create your favorite audio dramas. And maybe we'll introduce you to some great shows you've never heard of before. Find us at audiotheatercentral.com or in your favorite podcast app. That's audiotheatercentral.com.
Okay, so now we are completely ready to go through a top five with a few honorable mentions of movies that you suggested. Some of them I think I'll probably add to the list, but these are the ones you all voted on for some of the movies you like to watch here in October. So I am joined now, of course, we brought my wife, the Wendy Nerd, along. Hello.
Hi.
So well, this should be hopefully fun. So we're going to share a few some movies, some memories of the movies and everything with the production notes. But anyways, starting with number five, because it's a countdown, Casper from 1995, directed by Brad Silberling, produced by Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment, the first film to feature a fully CGI lead character at Casper, and of course interacting with live actors, starring Christina Ricci and Bill Pullman. This introduced younger audiences to a friendly ghost with surprising emotional depth. Visual effects were groundbreaking for the time, balanced humor and sadness, giving Casper a tragic yet hopeful story. And a backstory we'd never had before. I mean, I think you had said you never watched any of the old Casper cartoons?
No, I never. I mean, I guess I kind of was aware Casper was a thing and a cartoon, but I never watched any of them.
Well, yeah, the basic premise is Casper starts to make a friend with some kid or something, and then an adult comes up and says, ghost, and takes their kid away. That kind of thing. So Casper never gets to keep a friend through an entire episode of his cartoon. Well, they were shorts. So some favorite scenes that were pulled up. Casper, and this is, I think, the crux of everything for a favorite scene. But, well, before we get into these, let's share some like basic memories. Now, the fun thing for Casper is... I didn't know what a sneak peek really was, but I'd seen in the paper. There was some movie I was thinking about to go see, but there was going to be a sneak preview of Casper. And I thought, well, that's neat, and so I'll go. And I went, and I thought you'd probably get like maybe half an hour of Casper, some sort of little preview of it, and then it was going to show whatever movie was currently showing at that screen over at Metro North Mall. Didn't realize that sneak preview. I got to see it basically a week before it opened. They showed the entire movie. So it wasn't just a half hour. It was the entire movie. They were test screening it. So I got to see it a bit early and loved it. But yeah, some key scenes that what common people say. And this, I think, kind of almost the crux of the movie, because there's two times he says it. But the main one where he points out is when Casper whispers to her, "Can I keep you?"
Yeah, when they see each other, you know, like in flesh, and then
No. That's not the whisper.
Oh.
Well, I guess there is a whisper at the end.
He says
but
it,
it's twice.
Yeah.
Because the first time he whispers is when he's a ghost, and it's kind of sad. It kind of breaks your heart a little bit. Because he goes over where she's starting to fall asleep, and he goes, "Can I keep you?" And he kind of gives her a little kiss, and she says, "Oh, close the window. It's cold."
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, "Oh." But she remembered that to when he's a human. So, but yeah, I guess if you look at the ending version,
because the end is kind of emotional.
Yeah. Well, that part is too, because you're like, oh, he's cold and dead. And you're kind of rooting for him. It's like, well, what if he does get to come back? You know, because that's like the plot. If y'all haven't seen it, the plot of it is his father was trying to find a way to bring Casper back to life because he tragically froze to death because he didn't know how to come in out of the cold because he was a boy, I guess. I don't know. Also, favorite scenes of the chaotic breakfast sequence, which, yeah, okay, that's a lot of fun. A lot of craziness, which is also weird that his uncles even bother eating breakfast, but I guess they're kind of like Slimer, because Slimer is, like, you see him, like, eating and, like, drinking stuff, but everything's just running right out of him. So
they just like being obnoxious.
Yeah, but they want to eat all this stuff, but they act like it even matters. Like, no, you're not even digesting. It's just falling right through the bottom, and Casper's having to clean up, and they complain that he's cleaning up the place. This floor used to be filthy enough to eat off of, you know. But yeah, that's definitely a fun one. Of course, I think what a bit more fun than that is the first encounter with the three ghosts, and you have Bill Pullman in there, and they're doing weird faces in the mirror and turning him into Clint Eastwood and everything, and Mel Gibson, and then when he's fighting him with the vacuum cleaner and the plunger. That's, I love that. It's so screwy. It's very cartoonish.
Can I add one?
Yes.
So the one that I like that is, it's kind of towards the end because Bill Pullman's character has been trying to find like signs of the afterlife so he could find his wife, basically, again, who passed away.
Oh, because she must have unfinished business.
And she shows up and she's like, I have no unfinished business. You guys love me enough. And then, that always kind of like, I get a little teary when that I like that one. I mean, and that's kind of the whole... I mean, we've got all the Casper, kind of things going on, but for his
That's his
character, that's his his resolution at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's a really nice one too. But now it does mention as a favorite scene is, of course, the end of the movie, the Halloween dance where Cat and Casper share a moment before he fades away.
Yep,
and scares all the jerk kids away too. That's kind of fun. But yes, but that would, so the official kind of keep you whisper as a mite like the first one, but of course the other favorite scene, of course, is the end where it all happens again. So. Yes, I haven't watched that movie in a little while. We might have to pull that one out. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I own a copy of it somewhere.
Yeah, I think we own a copy.
I should have it because I like that movie. Okay, number four, Hocus Pocus from 1993, directed by Kenny Ortega, starring Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy and Jimmy as the Sanderson sisters. Originally released to modest box office returns, but became a Halloween staple thanks to yearly airings on Disney Channel. I would say also home video rental because that's where I first saw it. So some of the things that's been a cultural impact is Bette Midler's I Put a Spell on You, which became a meme-worthy favorite, I guess, to some people. I haven't seen memes of it, but Halloween rewatching made it a cult hit for multiple generations. And then there was a sequel that tried to revive the franchise for Disney Plus, and I've heard a third one, but oh God, I could not even get through that sequel. It was so contrived. It was awful. I don't recommend it.
There really shouldn't have been a sequel. They were supposed to have been like...
kaput. Yeah. Straight to hell. You're done.
Yeah.
You know, you've had your chance to resurrect, and now you're completely defeated and destroyed with what they did at the end of the movie.
Like the search for more money.
Yeah, the search for more money and trying to get people to watch Disney Plus. And unfortunately, the cult of Disney went for it. No. All right, and some people are going to be mad. What do you mean, cult of Disney? Yes, you heard what I said. Believe me, it's like a cult of Disney. I have learned it firsthand. All right, so a few favorite scenes. The witch's introduction after being resurrected. And that's not really one of my favorite ones. How about you?
Well, I kind of like... you have the kind of a scene where you see them in the modern day. Like, that's the part that I like. Yeah, these are the sisters.
When they jump on the street thinking it's a river.
And their interaction. But it's, you get to know them more than just at the beginning. Because at the beginning, they're very, typical witches. We're going to steal the soul of the child and yada, yada, yada. But as you go along, you kind of get to see the different personalities, especially as they interact with the everyday, stuff. So I agree. They're the little introduction, but
it's not much. It's some of the little one-liners that Bette Midler has in there.
Yeah.
Ah, what a lovely morning. Makes me sick.
Yes. Like, she's got some good ones. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And then even when she's doing a little magic on the boy, I forgot his name.
Binks.
Binks is the cat. But the guy, I'm thinking, I might be thinking of the guy. Yeah.
Thackeray.
No, Thackeray Binks is the cat.
Binks.
I'm talking the boy.
Oh.
Where she's flipping him around. Hello.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's just kind of fun the way she's just having fun, flinging him around the room. And by the way, she just, hello, as she spuns him around. It's like, she's so nasty, fun, wicked. But yeah, she's got some great one-liners.
I always wanted
a child of my own on toast.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sorry, I still like the whole amok. Amok, 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 yes. Amok, amok, amok. I don't know why that just
That's
is like.
Fun too.
It's just funny. Them just, one of them is just like airhead silly. And, the other one just kind of is clueless and, trying
and
to catch
on
up.
A vacuum cleaner.
Yes. And like they just, the character, and I can understand why people would want to see more of them because it was a very memorable.
But they were just naturally funny that way. And if you try too hard, it's very contrived and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's what I could stand to watch of the second one is like, and that, it was exactly what I was afraid of. It was like, they're going to try really hard to like bring back the nostalgia and just repeat themselves and not really.
Well, and then you're in danger of doing fan service instead of making a good movie.
Well, fan service would have still made it better. But because one of the things listed as a favorite scene is the musical number at the Halloween party, which is I Put a Spell on You. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It does work out. And then when she puts a spell on all the parents and they got stuck dancing, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other favorite scenes people listed was the heartfelt ending with Binks' spirit reuniting with his sister. I had to wait 1,000 years for a virgin to light a candle or something. Well, not 1,000 years, but 200
years or 200 years or something like that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Though, and that also kind of gets me teary too when you have the little kitty cat that, you know, and he passes, and but you know it's all better because you know he's with his family and the like. So, yeah.
And who knew that Thora Birch would go on to be, and I guess, didn't she win an Oscar for that American Beauty or something? I don't know. She did some other stuff as she grew up.
Yeah.
And then I think she did some independent film and disappeared. The other two, I think the boy, Omri, that's what I was thinking. Omri is his real name, I think.
Oh.
I think he did some other stuff. Now, the girl, the blonde girl, she was also in a Rodney Dangerfield movie. With Jonathan Brandis, where Jonathan Brandis got dressed up like a girl to play on the soccer team, and she was in that one when she was a little younger, Ladybugs. And then apparently she did a lot of horror movies after that, stuff like The Hills Have Eyes and some other stuff, did some horror movies. So, she was at Planet Comic Con this last year. I was hoping to be able to go to talk to, it was like her, and I think, because the voice of Thackeray Binks, the cat, was also on Goof Troop, if I remember correctly, and I'm forgetting his name. But he was at Planet Comic Con. But anytime I came around to their tables, they were gone or running off.
Oh, well.
So she's aged really well, though. I'm hoping I'm aging that well, but she still looks pretty good for her age because she's older than me, and I'm pretty darn old. So I will grant them that, but I didn't get a chance to meet with them or anything. They were right on the opposite side of the table, but I was over talking to, like, Katie Lee because Katie Lee's awesome. Anyways, any other fun memories? I think we've covered that one pretty good.
Yeah.
Number three, and I'm surprised this was this far down the list, Nightmare Before Christmas, 1993, directed by Henry Selick, not by Tim Burton, but it was produced by Tim Burton, written by Carolyn Thompson, based off a Tim Burton poem. It was a stop-motion animation feature using over 100,000 frames. Danny Elfman wrote the songs and provided Jack Skellington's singing voice. The fun thing is Prince Humperdinck is his speaking voice, but he doesn't have a whole lot of lines that he gets to do, but they got him because they wanted somebody who could kind of voice match Danny Elfman. And I guess they were acting as if Danny Elfman couldn't act, but Danny Elfman, during his songs, he has some regular lines that he delivers perfectly and really gives character to Jack Skellington, so having Humperdinck in there is kind of fun, and I forgot the actor's name, he wasn't necessary, but he does a good job because he's a good quality actor, and we've seen him play villains before, you know, and Fright Night, even, he gets to play a vampire. So, I mean, it was kind of cool, but I think Danny Elfman could have done the whole thing. I don't know why they just didn't let him say the few lines that are not sung.
Well, and there's not many lines that are just spoken by Jack. Most of them is singing, but yeah.
Because it's almost an opera. Everything's all music. It's like a series of music videos, which, like, the first time I watched it, it was overly hyped. And the first time I watched it, I was like, this felt like more a music video, and there was a really light on plot. I think it was like the second time around, everything, if you start looking at more from Sally's perspective, there's a lot more depth to the movie at that point. Because as Santa Claus even says, like, she's the only one around here that makes any sense. Because Jack is wrecking my favorite holiday the whole time. He's like, of course you would like Christmas. Christmas is great, but maybe you don't try to take it over. You know, you ruined it, dude.
Well, but that's kind of like
that's the plot of the movie, but he's kind of the villain until he straightens up, and then Mr. Oogie Boogie becomes your central villain.
Well, but that's just kind of Halloween Town. It's like because it's Halloween, like, they, that's their thing. Christmas. They don't understand, you know, the other holidays, so... Yeah.
And he makes the mistake of when they don't understand it, because of course they wouldn't. He goes, well, I'll just give them what they want then, and turns Sandy Claus into Sandy Claus, you know, the big lobster man. Well, initially this was a cult hit. It's now considered a holiday classic, bridging Halloween and Christmas, and something really you can watch in November, because that's when the story takes place, really. And you can watch it, you know, 3 months in a row if you really wanted to. It spawned merchandise, theme park overlays, and a devoted fan base. You better believe it. Good Lord. It also solidified Tim Burton's aesthetic into pop culture, even though he was not a director of it, but they did use his designs. It very much looks like his stuff. I mean, if you look, even that's what, he didn't really get to do a lot, even though he went to CalArts and ended up working for Disney. The way his style of drawing, he just never really liked matching the Disney style, because he has a very significant style. And even I've got some trading cards that are some of his designs of how he wanted the Joker and everything to look. And his drawings are very much that weird.
He's got his style on all his own, like, really.
He's got a style of his own. So basically, you know, designing characters off of that, and even the look of them. The ground and the trees, those kind of lines that he likes to use, is very much his style. Some listed favorite scenes is "What's this?" As he's discovering Christmastown. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
I like that one because it's like I'm the complete confusion. Yeah. And almost for some reason, when I see it, I'm thinking if it's like a weird version of the Grinch stole Christmas, except for he's not stealing anything yet. But apparently, he did take a few things with him because he brings it back to Halloween Town. But the way he's going in there and he's got the kids in the bed drinking with sugar plums and he's singing about it, I expect him to steal like a long candy cane away from the kids. But there is no big candy cane. But it's, I don't know, I just, it always looks like something.
It does remind you of that.
Because he's so out of place.
Yeah.
And hiding because, like, yeah, if they spotted him in Christmastown, I wonder what would have happened. They would have been like, what is that?
There would have been a lot of,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And another one is Sally's song.
Yeah.
Is another favorite one because that's the emotional core of the film, really. So I like Sally better than Jack. So Jack is kind of a fun character, but, you know, Sally's much cooler. I like Sally. Which I, you know, they refer to her as like Sally doll, but to me, I guess she's like a scarecrow brought to life. She's like a little mix between Frankenstein's monster and I guess a rag doll and a scarecrow all thrown together.
Yeah, because she's stuffed with leaves.
Yeah, she's stuffed with leaves like a scarecrow.
Yeah.
So, and stitched together like a Frankenstein monster, but she kind of is dressed like a rag doll.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then of course, some other favorite is the climactic return of Christmas Joy after Oogie Boogie's defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, is there time enough to fix it? He's like, of course, I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah.
and then
what's this? But they're at Halloween Town where they get to experience all like the snow and the fun of Christmas. Yeah.
It's no hard feelings. Like, here, I'm going to bring Christmas to you because apparently you liked Christmas enough. It's like, I will bring you Christmas and show you how it's supposed to do it. So everybody's like, oh, look, it's now, and the vampire's playing hockey. You know?
Yeah. Well, I can't help but think like Santa Claus being Santa Claus, like, he understands
why
they are attracted to it. What is it that they really like? That this was kind of a childish attempt to try to, you know. Yeah.
Well, he understands at least that Jack really liked it. The rest of them just didn't get it. They were like, oh, cool. So, you know, the way Jack describes it, it's this horrible thing that's like, oh, we love this.
Yeah.
The thing that I find really weird about it, though, is they talk about, you know, this is our job, but we're not mean. But yet they're giving an award for most blood drained to one of the vampires. It's like, I'm sorry, it'd be pretty mean if they're actually out there draining blood from somebody.
All of that, I feel like it's a background joke because who else is going to drain blood?
Yeah.
And like, what else do they have most blood drained in a night? And then there was something, there's some other things too that they have, but it's
but they're
very
doing horrible monster things when the song just went and said, no, we don't actually do these horrible things. We're just out to scare you and making sure you're having fun being scared. But they're like, oh no, you're actually out. The vampire's actually apparently biting some people.
What if it's like blood drained from your face, like you just, oh, turn white and...
Well, okay, we'll call it that. That way it doesn't seem like they're as evil as they are supposed to be. Because they're not supposed to be evil. So this is our job and we're not mean.
Yeah.
Number two, and this is one I haven't watched in a long time, 1991's Addams Family, or The Addams Family, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, inspired by Charles Addams' classic cartoons, starring Raul Julia as Gomez and Angelica Houston as Morticia. They were perfect, holy
crap.
They
were perfect, yes.
They brought gothic elegance and romantic chemistry that defined the franchise's tone. Set design and makeup earned Oscar nominations because they nailed it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I like the old TV show, but this was just kind of put it on steroids.
Yeah,
and brought what's her name? Christina Ricci onto the forefront as Wednesday because she brought it instead of being the cute little girl. And I thought she was the younger sister in the old show. She became the older sister and had a completely different personality and more grim.
Yeah.
To which they've now, you know, made a series based off of that idea. But I haven't watched the new series because I should probably check it out. But I don't like the idea that some of the stuff she did in the first season that they were showing in the trailers was like, no, that would get you arrested. And that's further than the Addams Family actually did to anybody else because they, you know, they're weird, but they're not, you know, going to set piranhas in the swimming pool to bite everybody's stuff off.
Well, like, okay, so before the movie came out, there was, and I don't know if you saw it because we didn't have cable. We just had, you know, free TV. We would have every once in a while on Halloween, they would show an Addams Family episode at the end of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yep. They even had that Halloween special one time.
And that may be what it was. I didn't know because I had never seen such a thing. But when I saw it as a kid, I was like, oh, this is really kind of cool. Like, it's kind of because as a kid, I really loved Halloween. Like, I wanted to do the whole haunted house if I could have, you know, like I kind of tried to change the basement into a haunted house, which didn't work. Didn't really. Well, I mean, I had some ambiance. Like I put, you know, like a fish bubbler in the wash tub so it made gurgling noises, and I had a bunch of little paper bats that I hung up, and invested in some, you know, fake spider webs. Anyway, so like I did what I could as a kid. So I really enjoyed that when it, you know, showed up. But that was all that I had, was just like, you know, just a couple episodes, maybe even the same episode, until this came out. And it was different. Like you said, it's not quite like the TV show. Mm-hmm. But it was good. Like it was just right for just the creepiness and their mischievousness, but not harmful either.
Yeah. They were more mischief. They were just kind of weird. They're creepy, yeah. And they're spooky, you know, that, but it was kind of funny, at least in the movie, that they had the sibling rivalry is like finding new ways to try to kill each other,
mm-hmm.
For the kids. See, and that kind of worked, but when that gets outside of the house and they start trying to kill someone, then it's like, wait a minute, now you can get yourself arrested.
Yeah.
Because you're out in public and everybody's going to see you try to kill it. And I appreciated like this one, and also Adam's Family Values, that even when you get them out and to do stuff, they cause some chaos, but no one really got necessarily hurt.
Yeah.
Although you get implied that they were going to set somebody on fire in the second movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's kind of a difference than, you know, to where there's this playful stuff, but not really evil, because they don't, you know, they don't realize they're monstrous. They're just, this is just the way we are. And so that's part of what made Adam's Family fun, is when they had all the relatives coming in to greet. And even Christopher Lloyd was great as for Uncle Fester. I loved him as Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Just has he ever played anything that was like not
awesome?
Yeah. I don't think there is. I think everything he does
a little different when you see him in Cuckoo's Nest. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
He's a very different character. He's a really kind of a jerk person in the asylum. So it's really different. But you needed somebody who could play someone who is kind of, you know, mentally unstable for that. And he's good at that. But he's still always going to be my favorite thing is Doc Brown.
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of zany. But I love him as Uncle Fester.
Yep.
We've already kind of gone through the cultural impact of that. Just a couple of favorite scenes where it was listed as Wednesday's deadpan responses to normal children at play. Boy, it's been a while since I watched it. I don't remember that scene. And then, the Gomez and Morticia ballroom dance, the romantic, spooky, and hilarious. And the mamushka.
Mamushka.
That whole thing is just great. Yeah. Him and Fester. But yeah, him and, you know, Gomez and Morticia are just always, that's French.
Yes, that's always cute. Well, and I like the battle at the end of the movie where they're in the library and every book they open does something.
Yes.
I like
goodness,
that.
It's fun. It was so goofy. I'm waiting for somebody to do a decent adaptation of the Munsters, because I watched probably more of the Munsters than the Addams Family, because they were all monsters that they didn't realize that they were the weird ones. They thought everybody else was weird out there.
I didn't only watch the Munsters
after. I thought
that
their gorgeous niece was ugly. Yeah. Oh, we're so sorry for you.
Well, I did not watch much of Munsters either, like until, I don't know, I think I was married with you, and then when I really, I knew they were a thing again, but like didn't really watch.
Yeah. So, alrighty, the number one from 1984, Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Directed by Ivan Reitman, written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, originally conceived as a sci-fi epic set in the future, but scaled back into a contemporary New York comedy. Ghost effects created by Boss Film Studios, blending practical puppetry and early optical effects. Cultural impact. This spawned sequels. Well, that's not right. Only one sequel, really. Well, I guess, okay, you can call these newer ones more sequels.
Sequels, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, but it feels like almost not a full reboot. It's like a soft reboot where we're bringing it back, but it's more focused on different characters, but at least getting to have some characters back. So, yeah. Then we ignore the really attempt to redo it entirely. That movie just doesn't exist. It's that bad. We don't talk about that one. So, yeah, it did get some sequels. It had an anime series and the real Ghostbusters. There were video games. There's pop culture legacy that's still alive over 40 years later.
Yep.
And the theme song by Ray Parker Jr. did hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100, to which Huey Lewis rightly did sue them because they totally ripped off I Want a New Drug. The story behind that is they wanted Huey Lewis to actually come up with a song for it, and he refused. And so Ray Parker Jr. did it, but they wanted it in a Huey Lewis style, and Ray Parker Jr. just totally lifted. When you listen, it's the same exact bass line as Want a New Drug. So Huey Lewis did win the lawsuit and did get some royalties. And, of course, this is what also made Who You Gonna Call one of the most quoted movie lines of all time, probably right next to Luke, I am your father, which is a direct wrong line, because it's like, no, I am your father is the real line, but it became Luke, I am your father for some reason.
So, or I am your father, Luke. I guess that's what I always thought.
Luke. I am your father is exactly what it says in Empire. But became known as Luke, I am your father. And this was probably because of Tommy Boy, when he's got the fan going and he goes, Luke, I am your father, through the fan. Oh. So, yeah, it's funny. Okay, my early memories on this is we went to the drive-in to go see this. And it was fun.
We did not see this in the movie theaters. In fact, I probably watched this at my cousin's house who had cable. And that's where I watched it.
Ah.
Because we did not watch it. Yeah, I would have been four. Mom and Dad would have not have spent money on this. So this was something that, yeah, we watched it in the basement at my cousin's house, of course, with the lights all off and all that stuff. Yeah.
And just to show you how good of a year 1984 was for movies, this was also the same year for Gremlins.
Yeah.
So
that's
which
scared
we also
me.
Saw on the drive-in.
Which I also saw on cable in my cousin's basement. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we did go to the drive-in, but that was after my brother and I had went to the theater. Actually, it's now a Dollar Tree or something over here. It used to be a theater. We had seen that there first. Pete's Dragon was playing in the opposite theater. There was only two screens. And then we ended up liking it. And so we went to the drive-in eventually. And so the rest of the family got to see that at the drive-in. So I got to see it twice in theaters. But I was more prepared for the first, you know, half hour. Not the first hour, but like for those 10 minutes where it is, you know, like a scary movie. Then it turns funny and you're like, oh, we're back. Okay, good. This is a funny movie again and fun, goofy stuff.
We can talk about Gremlins another time, but I've got stories watching Gremlins at my cousin's house because it scared me. Like I was legitimately scared.
Yeah. But Ghostbusters wasn't really scary. Now, the second one did make me jump a little bit. The second Ghostbusters movie, I was in a theater by myself in a dollar theater, the cheap one. And when they had the thing at the train and all this head suddenly are popping up, I did jump. You know, there was a jump scare there. Oh. But that's part of what's fun about Ghostbusters. And by the way, y'all can check out Watching Movies with My Pastor. Just last week, we released an episode where we watched Ghostbusters, talking about how it's such a great balance between horror elements and comedy. Because really, once you get to the point where them terror dogs are coming out, those are actually kind of scary.
That was scary, yes. Yeah. As a kid, I was scared. Now, my cousins, because they watched all this before, they were really good about, one of them in particular, was really good about being like, now this is going to happen. And you're just like, oh, okay. So
they spoil it?
Well, but then I didn't know what it was going to look like. Like, I didn't know. So, like, they kind of said, oh, yeah, that happened. Okay.
All right.
Okay. You know.
Well, some scenes that people listed as favorites is the library ghost sudden scare. Yeah, that's pretty good. And I do
appreciate. It's not the scare that I like. It's talking the to the ghost. It's the getter. That part
well,
is hilarious.
Well, that's why it's so much fun. Yeah. The whole buildup to it with the stacked books, the slimed card catalog.
And then the
up
wise
to it.
Cracks that have, you know, no human could but stack books like this.
Yeah. And what's funny about it is like clearly, you know, Dr. Venkman has no belief that they're going to find anything. Mm-hmm. And he slowly starts to believe it. And he's like, well, these people leading them, these two, Ray and Egon, lead me around all this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And we never find anything. And then suddenly they see a real thing and they have no idea what to do with it. He gets so mad. He pulls his Egon or Ray. No, he actually grabs Ray by the ear. Like, come here, Francine. He's so mad. Like, okay, so you guys have been dragging me to this stuff, but you have no idea what to do when you actually encountered something.
Yeah.
So, and then Ray's whole plan, get her.
Well, then, of course, Egon is just like, I'm going to hide my calculator.
The whole scene is great.
It's great, yeah.
Another favorite scene, Slimer's Hotel Chase. Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just fun, especially when they nearly blast, which is one of the things with a larger screen here. And I think prior, the first time I saw it was when they put it in theaters for the 30th anniversary, where after they blasted the toilet paper and the poor cleaning lady.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking, and in the background, you see her with a spray bottle trying to put the fire out of her toilet paper.
Yeah.
Which Philip, I guess, I hadn't seen that until I pointed it out when we were watching. It's like, look, the lady's putting the fire out. That's so funny, but it's like a background joke.
Well, and I love in the ballroom when like Slimer's and you know when he gets behind the bar and Egon's just like rah,
shooting text.
I love the everything about that is that the hotel their first ghost is great.
And they're acting like they do this kind of thing all the time, you know.
Yep. And
like
they have no idea what they're doing.
Not completely clueless, like, you know, we've never really tested this equipment.
Yeah. You know? I blame myself.
I do too. There's just so much great, great.
Each of us has an unregistered nuclear reactor on it.
Neutral accelerator on its back.
Okay.
And
I thought it was a nuclear reactor.
And they're scooting away to the other side of the elevator.
Switch me on.
Like, it was going to make a difference. If it's a nuclear device and it's going to explode, you're all toast, no matter what.
Yeah.
Other favorite things is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man rampaging through New York.
Yep.
Which I love the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I had a big inflatable of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's fun. He's a sailor. He's in New York. We get this guy laid. We don't have a problem. But he's just this Mickey Happy Marshmallow guy.
Yep.
So I love him. I love the Marshmallow Man. And you did get me. Well, I can't fit into the shirt, but I think I've got a little mini.
From the.
Because he's a. Where did I put my little Funko Mini? You got me. That came with a t-shirt.
Oh, I don't know.
Small.
The box is over there.
It's probably downstairs. Well, that's the box that has the shirt because I've kept the shirt, but It's like two sizes too
small.
Well,
so I got you what I could. Like I was kind of at the.
But it's a fun little Funko. And then I've got when the Frozen Empire one came out, I did get the little marshmallow mini that you could mount on your shoulders, a little plush. I had to get it. Oh. So, because I love the Marshmallow Man. He's just fun and goofy and smashing the town with a happy smile.
So
until he sees them and he gets that angry look like, rawr!
So I have to say, I think it's Zool, the guy chick or whatever that shows.
The gatekeeper.
Gozer.
Gozer is the baddie. Gozer's the one that becomes the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because they chose form of the Destructor.
So whoever the chick is that...
That's Gozer. When Gozer first comes out, chooses that, goes for that form. But when it's time to destroy the world, it's like, okay, you get to choose the form.
So anyway, that is the most, I think, screaming 80s...
The haircut.
The everything about it from like the bubble... body covering thing to the heels to the flat top, the hair, just everything just screams 80s and I love it. Like, I mean, and they did a really good job of keeping whoever it was and however they dressed this person up to be very androgynous. Like it could be anything.
Well, but she was like some sort of model from Europe. So
yeah.
She just had kind of a butch haircut that they gave her.
Like I said, some of it's what they put on her and you know, hairstyling and stuff like that. But my view of it made it look like, okay, is it a girl? Is it a boy? Like, I can't really tell. But that was the point, because this is a god. This is a deity. This is not supposed to be something you can put your finger
lowercase
on.
Lowercase G Babylonian thing.
Yeah, Babylonian, yeah.
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 And when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
I don't think I could do that. I think I would be very honest. I'd be like, oh, no. I'm the farthest thing from that.
Well, if I'm talking to some fake deity thing, I might do it. Like, yes, I am. Now go away. It's like I'm not him, but I represent him. Don't mess.
I have God in me,
don't mess. Yeah. Few honorable mentions, and I'm sorry, Ernest Scared Stupid didn't even make the list. But honorable mentions: House on Haunted Hill from 1959. Vincent Price at it's listed as his campy best. I haven't watched
it's
that
not
this
very
year,
campy.
But it's not very campy. It's a good mystery movie. One of the scares is kind of ridiculous because it doesn't make sense, but it'll startle you. Something Wicked This Way Comes, I actually got in there as an honorable mention from 1983. We actually discussed that movie last episode. Mm-hmm. Young Frankenstein, I'm surprised that wasn't higher up in the list to be all part of the top five. 1974, it's a brilliant parody. And, of course, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, specifically for the segment of The Legends of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
They were all just under the thing to making the top five. They were all tied for, like, number six. So I was like, okay, I got an honorable mention because this is great stuff. Y'all gave me a lot of good stuff on this list. This list kept growing, but only five could be in the top five, and only these ones that were runners-up got to be in the honorable mention. So if your movie didn't get mentioned, send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Let me know what movie was your favorite one that didn't quite make the list of
Ernest
the top
Ernest Scared
five.
Stupid.
Well, yes, we know. Well, is that your favorite Halloween movie, honestly?
That I have to watch it every year. If the thing was like, which one you have to watch every year, I have to watch Ernest Scared Stupid every year.
Okay. Because it's not Ernest's best. It's still kind of fun. I've still got a few things I'm like, meh. But it does have, I still say the best joke in that movie is, he never knew when to quit.
I know. We just got done watching it.
That is the best.
I like it for more than just that. Eartha Kitt is amazing.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Eartha Kitt is next to Ernest is like the best thing.
Yeah,
about
those
that.
Two
Eartha
those
Kitt
two were great.
It's really great in there. I've got to find my notes so I remember who all to... there we go. Who all need us to thank for everything. All right, because I do want to, of course, I guess I haven't spoken about Podgagement. Podgagement, you find that at neverlandpodcast.com, home of the Neverland Network of Podcasts. Podgagement, that is Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic company. If you happen to have a podcast, you want to get your review. So many, he's got so many things he's expanded on, and he's even expanded into a different company of doing transcripts and chapters on your podcast. He's got it all. Just go to podcast or go to podgagement.com through the link there on my website, and then I get a little kickback, and I appreciate that. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope, Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite, the Will Height and Wall Show, for helping me out with the introduction. Do not forget, you can email us, like I said, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Don't forget to find us on X or Twitter at NeverlandPcast. We're also on Facebook as the Phantom Nexus. You can find a page to like, but if you want to join the group, you have to go under Groups of Neverland Podcast, and I do have links there in the show notes. Just go and check it out. Of course, you can donate to Patreon, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by the respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. And now, get lost. And the Adventure. I'm sorry, I didn't cue you.
If you've been told you need a new furnace or have a bad heat exchanger, call Sears Heating and Cooling for a free second opinion. You'd be stunned at how often we run these calls and nothing is wrong. Sears Heating and Cooling, honest advice, fair pricing, and locally owned for almost eight decades. SearsHeatingCooling.com.